Hello to everyone who is at the site, JW Struggle. I go by the name of Andrew. Perhaps you've read some of the articles I've posted. I would like to tell a little bit about my story in the hopes that someone who is going through something similar that I have, well, hopefully they can perhaps learn a little bit something from my experience, or at least be encouraged that they're not alone in their struggle. Well, I was born in a family of Jehovah's Witnesses. Both my parents are Jehovah's Witnesses. As a youngster, I participated in several experiences and demonstrations. And when I was in my early 20s, I became a ministerial servant. During this time, I also regular pioneered and regular auxiliary pioneered. I also moved to where the need is greater. During this time, when I was a ministerial servant, something affected me quite a bit, now that I look back at it. It was a conversation that I had with an older, experienced brother. He was a ministerial servant at the time, but had served for many years as an elder. And he told me that he didn't believe that the teaching of the Society of 1914 was indisputable fact. He also told me that, in his opinion, the Society acted irresponsibly in the promotion of 1975. He said that circuit overseers and prominent elders repeatedly and dogmatically confirmed that Armageddon would come in 1975. He mentioned that even during one circuit assembly, a speaker said that he had taken out a large loan with a due date of January 1st, 1976, implying that he would never have to repay that loan because Armageddon would have already come. After talking with this brother, I remember I did review some information on 1914 and seeing really what the proof was. How did we as an organization arrive specifically at that date? And I remember thinking that the information was pretty scant. But in reality, my belief that the organization is God's channel, it really wasn't shaken at that time. I thought, well, this is God's organization, so if it says 1914 is the date that Christ was enthroned and the last day started, well, I guess that's what it is. Soon after this, I became an elder. I was quite young when I was appointed as an elder. And another thing that sticks out in my mind is that for two of the times that we studied the book of Revelation, I was the book study conductor. And I remember thinking to myself, after considering a certain explanation, I remember thinking, this can't be it. This can't be the explanation. However, I cast aside my doubts, thinking, well, this is God's organization, so the light will just simply continue to get brighter. Well, I continued progressing in the organization, giving quite a few circuit and district convention parts and having other responsibilities at the circuit and district convention level. In my local congregation, among other responsibilities, I was the theocratic ministry school overseer. And this is one of the reasons that I always kept up with the weekly Bible reading. But apart from those assigned chapters weekly, I really didn't do a lot of Bible reading. Apart from, of course, verses here and there, but large chunks of the Bible, I really didn't read a whole lot. However, in a bit to try to draw closer to Jehovah, I decided to read the Bible much more. I started reading especially the Christian Greek scriptures. I first started with the New World Translation, and I read that a couple times in the Greek scriptures. Then I bought a few other translations and read each of those a few times, or at least the Greek scriptures part. I also read a number of times the Hebrew prophets, and also as well as the rest of the Hebrew scriptures. But mainly I concentrated more of my time in the Greek scriptures. And from the very first time, I began to notice something different. I began to get a different feeling from the Bible, something different than before. For one thing, I began to enjoy it immensely. Soon I began to read the Bible every spare moment I had. Sometimes I was spending hours and hours reading the Bible, making notes in the margins. Soon I realized that a number of doctrines that the organization claims is almost, we could say, is almost infallible, in reality had little proof. One of the things I noticed quickly was that Christians were not under law, that we were to enjoy Christian freedom with God's law written on our hearts. But this is not the case with the witnesses. Witnesses, in truth, hardly dare do anything without first consulting the publications or asking an elder or doing both. I know when I was an elder, the brothers would come to me with many questions. If something was permitted, if they could hang Christmas lights when at the job they were working at, or so on and so on. And there was just no end to these questions. Or in reality, there was no end to the rules that the organization made either over what I felt were conscience matters. Also in my Bible reading, I began to better understand the New Covenant, that the New Covenant doesn't only apply to a few thousand Christians, that in reality it applies to all Christians. Therefore, that all Christians should partake of the emblems. About this time, I was so curious and so intrigued, and I was studying so much that I began to consult non-organizational Bible commentaries to see what they said. Well, when I read these commentaries, it pretty much confirmed what I suspected. As you can guess, this was a tremendously difficult time for me. The first doubts that this truly was God's organization began to come in my mind. I spent much time in prayer during this time. I prayed to Jehovah that he would lead me to the right understanding in these matters, and I was also at the same time praying that he please forgive me for doubting the organization, for doubting its doctrines. Well, as you can probably guess, I was in intense inner turmoil, and it was a very emotional time for me. And after one especially emotional and fervent prayer to Jehovah concerning the New Covenant, and if all Christians were a part of it, I had an unusual experience. After finishing that fervent prayer, a soft voice, or perhaps it was a thought, popped into my mind. I heard this voice the very second after I concluded praying, and it said, "Cast lots." Now, I didn't have to guess about the meaning or even really think about the meaning, because immediately I knew what it meant. I took a coin, a quarter, out of my pocket and quickly prayed to God. I said, if I, along with all other Christians and part of the New Covenant, let it come up heads. Well, I flipped a coin, and it came up heads. I prayed again. Father, just so I know that it is you and just not chance, let it come up heads again. So I flipped a coin, and it came up heads again. Then I prayed another time. I said, Father, this is the last time. Just so I know it's truly you, if I'm part of the New Covenant, let it come up heads one more time. I flipped a coin, and it came up heads. After doing this, my heart was pounding, you could say. My hands were sweaty. I sank to my knees and thanked God for answering my prayer. Now, I'm not insisting that this for sure was divine intervention. I readily admit I was in a very emotional state during this time. Perhaps I simply imagined the voice, and by coincidence, the coin turned up three times as heads. I'm not going to argue the point, but I do know that this was a turning point for me. After this, I began to read so-called apostate material that doesn't agree with the society. And I immediately recognize the truth on many other issues. The blood issue and how the organization has promoted itself, has made itself almost like an idol in place of Jesus, who is the true head of the congregation. At this point, I knew for sure that I could no longer serve as elder. So I met with the elders several times. I explained my disagreement with the organization and the teaching of the new covenant. And also I let them know that my conscience would no longer permit me to serve as elder in order to enforce various organizational rules that I felt were non-biblical, that these rules, instead of making rules, they should be left to the consciences of the brothers. Well, they, of course, were shocked. They accused me of not loving Jehovah enough, of not being submissive, of being prideful, of showing an independent spirit, of being spiritually weak, of being an unwitting tool in Satan's hands, and of being a poor husband for subjecting my wife to all this, to all this turmoil. Their belief was that by disobeying the organization, it is the same as disobeying God, and that when the organization speaks, it is Jehovah speaking. And that if I was disagreeing with the organization, well, I was disagreeing with God. Well, these accusations of the brothers, well, they did upset me for a time. But then I began to realize, these brothers are blind, just as I was blind. I could have easily acted the same way as these brothers are acting if this had happened when I was serving as elder, before I had awoken from my spiritual slumber. Well, after these meetings, I stepped down as elder. I no longer serve as an elder, nor do I have any responsibilities in the Kingdom Hall. Though I still continue to attend meetings, I still am an active Jehovah's Witness, but my plan is to fade in the next couple years. In the meantime, I'm working on getting my wife to understand some of these matters, and the progress has been slow, but it also has been steady. But my relationship with Jehovah and with Jesus Christ has continued to deepen. My desire to please them has never been stronger. I have an intense desire to please God. Those of us who are on this spiritual journey, who perhaps have passed the same way that I have before or have yet to do so, we know that we must rely on God. We know if we are in the situation that I am in, well, that we're going to lose our reputation that we enjoyed previously in the organization. We may lose friends that we've known our entire life. We may get to the point that our family will no longer talk with us. If we are disfellowshipped for apostasy, we know that we may be thought of as evil and satanic. It's possible even that our mates decide to leave us. But we know that Jehovah and His Son, Jesus Christ, will never leave us. They'll never forsake us. And they know what we're going through. It's just as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. He said, "Happy are you when people reproach you and persecute you and lyingly say every sort of wicked thing against you for my sake. Rejoice and leap for joy, since your reward is great in the heavens. For in that way they persecuted the prophets prior to you." I'm just so thankful that God has found me worthy of suffering persecution for His sake, for the sake of the truth. Thank you for listening.